Welcome in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy on this 14th day of October. Football Friday coming up big time today at 1 o'clock. And we got a new segment that we're breaking out, Angel. We're going to do future headlines. And what we're going to have some fun with that, come up with some fun future headlines for the weekend. And we'll predict whether or not those headlines will come to fruition. So I'm looking forward to that. Susan, Cheryl, ready to go. Dolphins took the ping pong table out, put it back in. Angel, we're ready. I mean, we got the ping pong table. Those things are important. You got to have it. You got to have free stuff to play around with once in a while.
Yeah, you can't be football 24/7.
No.
At least spend 20 minutes of that time playing ping pong on their new customized Dolphins ping pong table. I've not seen it yet. Supposedly, it's still on the way.
Yes. I am curious to see what that looks like.
Better be the coolest ping pong table ever.
I'm sure it will.
If it's causing this kind of mass hysteria.
Yes. I mean, everyone's talking about that story because it's just kind of funny. Because Mike McDaniel's like, oh, I love that. That's great for those guys. Good for them to be leaders and step up. And then, yeah, but we weren't getting rid of it because we didn't want to play anymore. We wanted to get a better one.
Pretty much it. He had a conference today and he said he didn't know about Tyreek's intentions. So I guess he just assumed they were getting rid of it.
Weird. That's funny. First of it is text line 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the night that was on a Thursday night. I'll talk about Thursday night football in a moment. But the good has been, as lousy as the Thursday night football game was, Major League Baseball playoffs, like almost every game has been pretty good, which is kind of crazy, right? I mean, every game has been, even when Houston goes up, what, two late, it's still like bottom of the ninth game. It's still a nine inning game. We've seen that more often than not at this point. So, hey, I'm loving it. We have Yankees and Guardians starting right now. Their game was postponed and moved to right now, so we'll see how that impacts this game, but it looks like a beautiful day there now. The bad for me, I mean, it's back-to-back. It's not a big deal. You go to Calgary after your first game, a little hangover effect. And the Avs, they started, you know, Francois instead of Georgiev, which makes sense, back-to-back. He gave up 5 goals in this one. And the Avs lose to Calgary 5-3. No big deal. I mean, they don't play now for 3 more days. Whatever. I mean, I was talking to Clark Johnson about this, our resident hockey guy here. And he said the Avs were only, like, picked to lose a few times last year. Going into each game, they were dogs. And they lost all of them. And that was one of them. That was one last night. They were picked to lose. Because, dude, like, you have the raising of the banners. The Blink-182 dude is there. It's a celebration the night before. You get the win. Yeah, it was. I kind of expected this to happen on that back-to-back situation. The ugly, and we'll go back to the Major League Baseball playoffs, it's kind of just been the weather. The weather's been weird. We've already delayed, you know, with that Atlanta game the other night by a few hours. This game we had to postpone with Cleveland and New York. So let's just hope the weather doesn't affect this, because so far, we've had some pretty exciting baseball, and I'm pretty pumped about it. Ready to rock and roll. And that's it. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Our Method Flow products poll question of the day. And haven't hit this one, but, you know, we've got Nuggets starting their regular season on Wednesday. They get set to go. We're going to see the real deal very soon. What can this team do? What are your expectations for the Nuggets this season? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Playoffs or bust? I mean, are they got to make the play. Like, that's not even it's a non-starter for me. If they don't make the playoffs, bye-bye Michael Malone. Major changes probably happening. Got to win at least the first round. Got to make it to the Western Conference Finals. NBA Finals appearance or win their first championship. 35% of the hooligans are voting on, I expect them to at least go to the Western Conference Finals. That seems like that's where the expectations are. Maybe not a championship, maybe not going to the finals, but making it to the Western Conference Finals.
I agree with that. I think playoffs are pretty much a guarantee at this point with this team. Obviously, you know, injuries and anything could happen from now to May when the playoffs start. But I do think they have the team and the talent to really put together a good all-around team. We talked about, you know, the improvements on defense that they're making. You hear from players that they're excited to play defense, that they pride themselves on that. So that's a good trait for them. You get your two injured players back. Hopefully they don't take too long to get going again. But this team has all the talent, all the coaching, and they just got to go out there and do it. And I think Western Conference Finals are the expectation.
Yeah, I think so. And again, the only thing I'll caution a little bit, but I'll admit my expectations are pretty darn high, is you know, how do they respond with the injury situation? You know, is Nikola Jokic, is the wrist a big deal? Is Jamal Murray's thigh an issue? His thigh's bugging him right now. So, I mean, those are questions to look at. How does the start of the season go? I asked a question earlier, Angel, and again, this doesn't change how I view they're going to be late in the season in the playoffs. But I wouldn't absolutely be shocked if in the first month and a half or two, this team's right around 500, maybe a game under, you know, as they're trying to figure this out. But again, with the Joker playing at his high level, you got to think the expectations are pretty high. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris, Angel, did something happen, Angel, this morning? I don't appreciate how Brian went off on you this morning. What did he yell at you? Was he nasty? What happened?
So Brian's team is the Minnesota Vikings.
True.
My team is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, so we got a little trash talk going on.
And they are playing this weekend, and Brian was letting his trash talk flow.
The Vikings are 3.5-point favorites in this game. How do you feel about that? Third-string quarterback for the Dolphins.
It's a little nervous, really. I like Skylar Thompson. He did really well in the preseason, and it is preseason. I'm taking that for what it is.
What's preseason?
I don't know. For Denver,
yeah, we don't
Broncos
even,
fans, you might not know what that
we
is.
We don't even know what that
it's
is.
It's basically three games they play before the season where sometimes your starters might play.
That's dumb.
Anyway, but Skylar, he's had the full week of practice with the ones because Teddy and Tua are both still in concussion protocol. It looks like they are nearing the end of those protocols, so it is possible that both are cleared.
Is somebody suiting up, or do they have an emergency quarterback?
They have an emergency quarterback on their practice squad right now. It's possible he gets elevated before Sunday if Teddy does not clear protocols. Tua is not going to play. He still may clear, but he will not play. Coach said it's not fair to the team if he just goes in with no practice or anything like that. I get he's the starter, but Skyler's going to start. Teddy might back up. If not, it'll be Reed Sinnott, the practice squad QB. So we're going to see Dolphins trying to just bounce back after two ugly losses where they lost their quarterback in both games. One was kind of weird that Teddy got out, but nonetheless, good game against a good Vikings team. So should be a fun one.
You said, Chris, maybe put a foosball table in for more team bonding. Hey, I have no problem with that kind of stuff. I really don't. Team bonding, whatever you got to do. Talking about the Nuggets again, you know, just when I was down at Media Day a couple weeks ago, it does feel like this team is bonded more than they've ever bonded before. Aaron Gordon had a paintball thing, like they got together and played, but then they went and played paintball. Gordon went to go watch Joker this summer a little bit. So, I mean, I think the team bonding for the Nuggets is probably better than it's been in a long time with this group. So let's see if it takes hold. What are your expectations? Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I think we're all kind of agreeing that it's Western Conference Finals. I mean, they have to go to the playoffs or we're freaking out. If they miss the playoffs, Michael Malone is gone as the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. What if they don't win the first round? Is Michael Malone done? Is it time to see if you can do what the Warriors did, pull a Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr thing, and go, all right, Michael, we appreciate you getting this team back into a consistent playoff picture, but you're clearly not the guy that can get them over the hump. That's what the Warriors did. Mark Jackson was the guy that kind of helped get these you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers. In fact, that was right, you know, they knocked out the Nuggets in that first round years ago when George Karl was still there. That was when the Nuggets were going down, the Warriors were going up. But then the next year, I think they lost early, and that was when a move was made, was, all right, we don't think Mark's the guy that can get this team over the hump. Let's bring in Steve Kerr, which I questioned at the time. He didn't have any coaching ability, but he obviously played at a high level, won championships with the Bulls. His commentating obviously leads you to believe he knew a lot about basketball. So, and it's worked out. What do they have? How many championships do the Warriors have now? Is it four? Are we looking at four with this current dynasty kind of situation? Which it is. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, they are a dynasty. This version of the Warriors are a dynasty. And I think, so they won one without KD. They won one with KD. Did they win two with KD? So they won three. And then they just won this one. So four. That's a dynasty, right? Spurs were a dynasty, and they did it in a span of like 20 years. Patriots were a dynasty. They kind of did it in a span of like 15, 20 years. So are the Nuggets going to be like that? Again, you don't make the playoffs, Malone's gone. You lose in the first round, Malone's gone, assuming everybody's healthy. And I hate to use this because, you know, it is an excuse, but if you know, any team in the NBA, if they lose their number two and three guy, probably not going to do very well once they get into the playoffs. With Joker, I expect him to, he can limp this team to the playoffs on his own. But with Murray and Porter and all the new additions, this team has high expectations. And they should. It's got a great roster, great pieces as far as the depth chart goes. So yeah, my expectations, I don't know about a championship. I don't see why they couldn't. I feel like they have just as good a shot as any. I mean, who are the, obviously Golden State's going to be, is that the number one threat? Golden State, Phoenix will be there. Dallas is going to be good. The Clippers are going to be good. I still think the Nuggets will be better than the Clippers. Phoenix took maybe a step back last year. Golden State, though, that was a case of, and we'll see how this Draymond Green thing works out, but last year with Jordan Poole, that was a case of the rich getting richer. Another guy that I just thought, holy cow, and Gary Payton Jr.? I mean, he churned out some pretty good games for this team. So, yeah, I think the expectations are, it's reasonable to expect this team to go to the Western Conference Finals. Now, you think he's gone if they lose in the first round, Malone?
I think it depends on the context of that series. If nobody's hurt, get swept in the first round, yeah, he's gone.
If nobody's hurt, you have your full team, Jamal's playing well, Porter's playing well, and you get to a situation where you go seven and lose in the first round. Is Malone gone?
Again, I think it's all the context of that series, how it goes. Like, if they take it to seven and then lose on a buzzer beater,
yeah,
I don't think you can fire him at that point. But if it's, you know, oh, this team looks bad, or
what if
the situations,
like,
are not right, he's making bad decisions.
What if they're a third or second seed and they lose to whatever that would, what would that be?
They lost
fifth?
Like a Pelicans team or something.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Then you're gone. If you're a third seed and you lose in the first round, then you're gone. Okay. Second round. They make it past it. They go to game seven. They hit the buzzer beater. They move on. They're in the second round. But then they lose. Maybe they even get swept. Maybe they lose 4-1. Is Malone gone?
It's hard to make a case to keep him. Like, you want to celebrate the success we've had with Malone, but it'll be that narrative that he never could get them over the hump.
And that's what Mark Jackson was. That was the situation in Golden State. Was, we've got a playoff team. We've got a two-time MVP. We have to capitalize. I think the pressure is very much on Michael Malone this year. And I like Michael Malone. I hope they find his freaking dog. Any updates there? Did they find his dog?
No updates.
The dog is Gonzo. That dude took that dog and ran as far as he possibly could. What a weird story. 20 minutes after the hour, another stinker on Thursday night, but it did have me pondering a few things as I'm watching Justin Fields. Let's talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
I'll give you baseball can be pretty beautiful at times. Stanton just blasted it, a two-run homer, but it looked like he should have been walked. The count was 3-1, a very low pitch. He thinks he's going to walk, so he's walking to first base, and they last second, the ump goes, strike. So now it's full count, and I'm sitting there, Angel, during the break, I said, watch Stanton just blast it here, because he's pissed because they called a strike instead of a ball. What did he do? Home run.
Home run to right field.
Nailed it. Yankees up 2-0 over the Guardians of the Galaxy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I mean, you can set your watch by bad football on Thursday night now. It is 12-7. Another barn burner. Just awful. Carson Wentz, 12 of 22 for 99 yards. His rating was 66. No touchdowns, no picks. Justin Fields, 14 of 27, 190, one touchdown, one pick. He ran for 88 yards. Justin Fields, am I wrong here? He kind of passes the eye test. He missed some open throws, but I don't know if he's just pressing so much. But his ability to run and move around in the pocket, no offensive line. I mean, I just feel like even the easy throws that he missed, he's just constantly like, I got to hurry and get this ball out. So I was thinking back to, you know, drafting Patrick Surtain. Now you have Russell Wilson, certainly some uncertainty around that Russell Wilson move. Would the Broncos have been better off if they would have drafted Justin Fields instead of Patrick Surtain? You wouldn't have Surtain. You'd have Fields as your quarterback. You'd probably have all the draft picks still. No Russell Wilson. Who knows? That was 2 years ago, right? So would Vic Fangio have been given more time with a young quarterback? I don't know. Probably not. But I'm watching Fields, and listen, I'm not saying he's good. He's still in that tier, wherever the hell I put him. I don't know where he is, somewhere lost in the tier space. But there's something there. Am I way off on this? Especially in the second half. But he was just getting clobbered, dude.
I don't think you're wrong. I think with the NFL, we see these rookie quarterbacks, and we expect them to be, oh, you were taken 9 overall or 8 overall.
You
got
to be good today.
You need to be good immediately. And we tend to ignore the team around it, the system that they're built in. Look at Mac Jones. His rookie year, he fit in perfectly in New England.
Yep. Perfect.
And with
type.
Justin Fields, even in his rookie year, you could see he has the talent.
And
he
can
make the throws. He can do the off-script stuff that you want to see from your quarterback that's mobile like that. He's young. He's got all the talent. But the Chicago Bears team is just awful.
Well, now you got a new coach, and he's working in with that, right? So, because wasn't it Nagy last year?
Yeah, and Nagy basically did Brian Flores and tried to sabotage him.
Right. So I guess I'm just looking at this. We used to be, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. That was in that time where it took, we were totally good grooming a quarterback.
It was expected, yeah.
That was
expected. He's going to sit for a year or two.
And he sat for like 4, didn't he? Behind Brett Favre or something like that. And we just kind of expected that. Draft this guy, unless it's like an obvious, but draft this guy and he'll sit behind a bridge type quarterback that still has it.
Like an Alex Smith.
Like an Alex Smith type guy. Or even in the Packers case, they saw Brett Favre was getting older. So they drafted Aaron Rodgers and they're like, hey, we'll let Favre go for as long as, you know, there's gas left in the tank. And then when Aaron Rodgers is ready, we'll go. Guys like Justin Fields, we're just throwing them out there, man. Good luck. And if you don't perform, you're done. And then you ruin these quarterbacks. How many? Look at Daniel Jones. Was he good his rookie year? He didn't play his rookie. He came in later, right? They benched him finally for Eli. Was Eli's last year?
Yes.
And then his second year, not very good. What is this, his third year or fourth year?
This is his fourth year.
So third year, still, question marks. He hasn't proved it. This fourth year, I'm looking at it going, Daniel Jones is kind of a baller, man.
And that can be attributed to their coaching.
Dable's got it.
You have to be in a situation where the coach and the front office and the staff believe in you.
I agree.
Oh, he's my quarterback. We're going to try to win games. It's no, I believe in this guy. We're going to build around him.
The Broncos, which is so funny because the Broncos haven't done this, but that year with Tim Tebow, when they decided Kyle Orton's not going to do it, the crowd's going crazy. They want Tebow, so they bench Kyle Orton. Because I think Tebow had a good second half, and the crowd, I'll never forget, they lost that game. Crowd's cheering, though. Cheering Tebow. I'm like, we're on a different planet now. But you remember what the Denver Broncos did? John Fox and John Elway sat down and basically went back to the drawing board. And they built, in the middle of a season, which is supposed to be hard to do, they restructured the entire offense. Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow are night and day, which is why Josh McDaniels, what were you thinking there? Let me draft Tebow. Or let me trade for Orton and I'll draft Tebow. Like, you got to draft a guy that's close to who your current starter is, I would think, so then you don't change the offense around. So, halfway through the season, they completely modify this offense to be more of a running quarterback offense, knowing that that's Tebow's strength. And, hey, they went and won football games with Tebow. They won, got in to win eight games, to win the AFC West. It was a bad year for the AFC West. They go to the playoffs, they win a playoff game. And why aren't we seeing that more often? And I go back to what I'm seeing with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. I get that you are a new head coach and you're trying to implement your stuff, but you were given this gift of Russell Wilson, and I still think it's a gift. You need to go back and watch what Seattle did. What made Russell so successful? There's only a few quarterbacks, Angel, that I would say, no matter what system they're in, they're going to be good. Rodgers is probably one of those guys. Even Brady, I'm not saying he's a system quarterback, but he still needs a little cushioning around him. But guys like Aaron Rodgers and, I don't know, maybe Patrick Mahomes, maybe Josh Allen, like those kind of guys could probably go anywhere and excel, give him an okay offensive line. But it does seem like more often we are looking at quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, that need to have some kind of system that they can fall back on. B-Rad, what is this one? NFL creating the most god-awful Thursday night special before selling it. Thursday night schedule, excuse me, before selling it to Amazon for $11 billion. He just has a picture of the Breaking Bad dude making whatever he's making. That's a good one. These have been terrible.
Who did they swindle for that deal?
I don't know, man. And how are they getting these garbage games?
And they told them the schedule, or they were just like, no, we're going to give you Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, they probably just told
them. Who's playing? It doesn't matter. Nobody, they're NFL teams. They'll be good.
Nobody at Amazon's like a football guy. So they're like a bunch of non-sports people.
Mr. Bezos, listen.
Yeah.
You don't need to know who's playing. They're all NFL teams.
It's NFL.
They're all great.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
Everyone's going to be watching.
Stigman says, I heard a rumor. That'll get you in trouble. Heard a rumor that Al Michaels is fed up with the past two Thursday night games and might retire. Have you heard anything about this? I haven't heard anything.
I've seen his name floating around Twitter. I saw a tweet earlier. It was like, would we be shocked if Al Michaels just showed up for Sunday night football?
Yeah. Well, and that's the tough part. And I get, you know, it's 2022 and it's the DirecTV argument. If you don't have it tough, people probably should figure out how to get Amazon if they want to watch Al Michaels and Thursday Night Football. But I'm saying it is a crime that Al Michaels is not easier to access as far as listening to him broadcast a game.
Dude, he's an iconic NFL voice.
Correct. He belongs in front of the biggest audience you can get. I wish he would. But he took it. Listen, he took it. It's on him.
It was a good deal.
But I just wish that he wouldn't have. Okay, so what? What do we have for the next Thursday night game?
I believe it's Cardinals-Saints. That should be better, but who knows?
It's a maybe.
There's definitely touchdowns in that game.
Baltimore at Tampa Bay is the following week. That should be good. Baltimore will go up 21-3, and then Tampa Bay will come back and win it 24-21.
With a little Tom Brady 2-minute drill.
Yeah. Philadelphia at Houston is after that one. That's a clunker. Week 10, Atlanta at Carolina, clunker.
Two bad teams.
Bad. Week 11, Tennessee at Green Bay. Tennessee going to do anything? I don't know. The following week, that's Thanksgiving. Amazon Prime doesn't get those.
Thank God.
It's CBS, Fox, and NBC. It's Buffalo, Detroit, New York at Dallas, New England at Minnesota. Those, like,
poor Detroit. And, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Here you go. Here's your annual
they
Thanksgiving game.
They'll never
win
on Thanksgiving.
No, they won't. Week 13, back to prime. Buffalo at New England. Not now. Week 14, I'm just trying to go through these. Vegas at Los Angeles.
Which Los Angeles?
Rams. Sorry. There's two LAs now. I forget.
Sure.
If the Raiders are maybe they're out of the mix by then, but I actually think they might still
maybe
be in the mix.
Pushing for a playoff spot at that point.
San Francisco at Seattle. Maybe. Seattle's
might be Drew Lock's coming out game.
Might be. Pete Carroll says he's all right on his heels.
It's a short week for Seattle. Maybe you start the backup.
Jacksonville at New York. Jets.
Oh. No.
Wow. Why are we even scheduling that game? The following week is Dallas at Tennessee. Meh. And then that's it. No, that's the final one.
Wow.
So, I mean, nothing. I mean, there's the Tampa Bay-Baltimore one. That's the big one. But the rest are kind of like, not good.
I feel for Al Michaels.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's not going to get any easier for him. I don't. Would Al Michaels seriously retire in the middle of the season? I don't see that as he would do that. Finish it up.
I mean, we talked yesterday about broadcasting sports games that aren't competitive or fun. With the NFL, like, when it's not fun or good, it's not good.
Well, and
it's hard to watch.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, man. Because baseball, it's the kind of sport that lends itself to not just, like, it's not always going to be, like, ugly a baseball. It's baseball.
Yeah, like a 1-0 game in the bottom of the ninth
can still be fun.
Be good.
Yeah, it can still be a great time. Football, when it's 12-7.
3-0 at halftime?
No, like, no. Yeah.
Turn it off.
No, not going to be good. Well, and Chicago had all these chances, too. And again, I'm going back to Justin Fields. He missed some throws. I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying, is there something there? And would you, that should have been a good, that'd be a good poll question. Would you have rather the Broncos get a guy like Justin Fields and groom him? Or are you happy with the way they've been going about it for the last 6 years? Seriously, it was Peyton Manning. Then it, you know, Trevor Siemian, whatever. They took a Joe Flacco, Case Keenum. They were trying to get Teddy Bridgewater last year. They're trying to get all of these guys that could be starters, or maybe they had some success at some point, rather than grow. They tried Paxton Lynch, and I think that failed so miserably. John Elway's like, I'm not. I don't want to touch. I don't want to touch that anymore.
I thought Paxton Lynch was that good in college.
No, he was a prototypical Elway looking quarterback, though. Tall, strong, big arm. Which, why didn't you draft Josh Allen? First Advantage text line 888. Oh, thanks for that text, he said, Chris. Yeah, I've been running around, man. I've been running around doing some stuff all over the place, so it's been fantastic to get out and spread the whole show good cheer beyond just Northern Colorado. 38 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Make sure you stop by On the Rocks Liquor when you get off work today. Check out the game beer of the week from Crabtree Brewing. It's Chunkin' Punkin'. It's the 14th of October. Perfect. You can get selections from Crabtree. On the Rocks is always out supporting local breweries, statewide breweries, and even cool things, you know, throughout the country. So they got a great mix. And tonight, free tastings this Friday from 4 to 7. The great folks from Classic Distributing will be on hand with some wines to try. Let's read through some more texts here about Thursday Night Football. Michaels, this one from Dixon. Michaels made a joke on a Chicago radio show before the game last night that if he has to sit through another game like the Denver game, he might retire. Well, that was a game a lot like the Denver game last night. Think it was said as a joke in anticipation of another stinker last night. B-Rad, Thursday night has always been bad matchups. I feel like it's their way of getting bad teams more exposure, like CSU playing on Fridays or 8 p.m. on Saturdays. Yeah, but this I don't remember. First of all, I don't remember all the matchups looking this bad, and I don't remember them actually being this bad. like 12-7 and whatever, all those ridiculous scores. That's a rough look. Amazon having some buyer's remorse, perhaps, at this point. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, real quickly, I just want to summarize this thought. I went out to UNC Bears scrimmage yesterday. And, you know, it's you can take what you will from everything, but I think this team's going to be pretty good. You know, again, they're playing each other. So they did a gold, blue team, gold team. They mixed it up. You know, the like Dalen Kuntz was on one team. Matt Johnson was on another. So they mixed starters in. And then in the second half of the scrimmage, they put the blue team. They changed jerseys. And that was kind of more of the starters. So it was like Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, Dalton Connect. Trying to think. Was it Bryce Kennedy maybe? And then who's the big guy that I was telling you about, not the Australian kid. Oh, Brock Wisney. Brock Wisney out of, he's a freshman out of Thornton. 6'9", 230 pounds. He was in the starting group in the second portion, and we all kind of, again, it's not set in stone, but the guys I was sitting with, we all just kind of assumed that would be the starting group at that point. But that's going to be the big question around UNC is, can your big guy step up? You know, because I watched it. Who'd they play in the Big Sky Championship? Was it Montana State?
It was either Montana State or Weber State.
I'm just blanking out on that right now. But, you know, they had their big man. Their big man was the one that won the Big Sky Player of the Year, right? And you know, you just looked at it and said, he's going up against superior talent, so can he be... Can they get a guy that can go toe-to-toe with the other big men throughout the rest of the Big Sky Conference? It was Montana State, wasn't it?
Yep.
And their big man, what was their big man's name? Wasn't he the guy that ended up winning the Big Sky Player of the Year over Dalen Kuntz? Mm-hmm. Was it Xavier Bishop? Was that it? No, I don't know. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But I, that's going to be.
Brian Bello?
Was that the guy?
Yes, from Montana State.
Yep. Well, that's going to be the question is, can their big men stack up with the rest of the conference? But I think this is going to be a good basketball team.
No, I'm excited to get back out there and watch this team play. I love watching Dalen and Matt run the floor, just those veteran guards that probably will be the best backcourt in the Big Sky this year. They're just electric to watch, and we'll really see. I want to be interested to see how their leadership kind of trickles down to some of the younger guys. Coach Smiley talked about some freshmen that are coming in.
He loves these freshmen.
Some contributing roles to this team. So, yeah, but the big question, who's going to be that big man down low, getting the boards, getting, you know, blocks and stuff like that. But also, can they be physical down low?
Yeah. And Coor John Cooch got better last year. He had some games where you're like, wow, he's a good big man. But then there were other games he kind of disappeared. So
he
can
get,
you get
like
a consistent
10 rebounds
guy?
A game.
Yeah, he was always getting boards. Can he go? But when you put him up against another tough guy in the, you know, down low, can he outmuscle that guy? And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. So you're obviously looking for some more consistency there. You and I were talking a little bit about Dan Snyder. Like, what could he possibly have? He says he has dirt on everybody. He has dirt on the NFL owners and Roger Goodell. Your brain went to an interesting spot.
Yeah, so I was doing grocery shopping yesterday, and I was just thinking about this
you're
dance.
Just pondering,
kind of
you stopped
yeah.
in the middle of grocery shopping.
And I'm thinking, what could he possibly have that could bring down the NFL? If not, you know, racial, sexual, all any
right.
kinds of allegations that
nasty
could be out
stuff.
There. What is something legit that would ruin the NFL? And I said, what if Snyder came out and said, the NFL has been scripted for the last 30 years?
Or fixing some games, modifying games.
Or that it's every single season, the NFL knows who's going to win. Or
here's what's,
certain games,
what's
they know who's going to win.
What's interesting about that is you just said it. There could be obviously, their worst things would be like sexual stuff, racist, all that stuff could happen. I'm here to tell you, that's not going to bring down the NFL.
It's happened in the NFL every single year.
It's not, even if they say, Roger, again, this is... Nothing I've heard. Roger Goodell is involved in some kind of sexual misconduct. It ain't going to bring down the NFL. Sorry, but it won't. But you mess with the integrity. This is why they fine Tom Brady so much and suspend him for the As confusing as the fines and suspensions are, this is why Deflategate was such a big deal. You mess with the game, we're coming after you. Why? Because of not just the gamblers, but the viewership, especially the gamblers now. If you mess with the integrity of the game and I get a whiff that these things are fixed, I'm not gambling anymore. I'm staying the hell away from the NFL, maybe sports all in general. You're right. That would be the key thing right there that would take down the NFL.
And there's plenty of moments, you see it every year, every week, where you think, that seems a little fishy. That kind of worked out a little too perfectly. You think about Broncos country, be careful, but Peyton Manning Super Bowl. He, at that point in his career, with the foot injury and all that, there was no way he was going to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, there's
unless
stories.
He was retiring. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. Got to get paid back on Bill Belichick. Can he do it without him? Well, he can. The Los Angeles Rams. You're hosting a Super Bowl, first one in your new stadium. It's going to be great.
Darling Matt Stafford out of Detroit.
Yeah, you got your quarterback, you got your receiver, you got Von Miller. Go win a Super Bowl. Just
Philadelphia
thought.
Was the, you know, the nobodies.
The Saints
the
winning
Foles.
Their Super Bowl after Katrina.
Yeah. I'm just looking at all these winners. Like, personally, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe it. But if you wanted to start going down that hole, you could just start looking at all of the winners of the Super. And so, like, my mind will, if that was some of the dirt, I wouldn't say that they scripted it to start the year. Like, okay, here's who's winning the Super Bowl. I could see them seeing how the teams are going or whatever, leaning one way or another with officiating or whatever,
They could manipulate it on a week-to-week basis.
Yes. Like, I have a hard time, again, I have a hard time believing any of that. But I have a hard time believing that they said, okay, start of the season, it's going to be the Rams. We just have to find a way to get there. Yeesh. You can't bet on the WWE, I'm pretty sure. You can't bet on the WWE because we all know it's fake. So they can manipulate the money. Oh, everybody's betting on Triple H to win this thing. Well, we'll just make sure Billy Bob wins it. If you find out that this game has been messed with, I mean, the NBA was being messed with, but it was one guy and allegedly one guy. It made you think, though. Well, if one referee is screwing around, what leads me to believe that all of them aren't screwing around? That's an interesting. Let's keep going on that. I love that topic. 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKF.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for being with us here today. We've got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll really start busting into Broncos Chargers, CSU Utah State, intriguing storylines there. UNC plays host to Montana State. The Buffs with their interim head coach and Mike Sanford. Just like that, we have started a new regime with the Buffs. The Carl Durrell era is gone. They were off last week. We'll see what Mike Sanford has in store against Cal this week. So a lot to get to. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.